Ephesians chapter number 6. It's been, I guess, a few weeks now. I preached a message on a Wednesday night on defending against defeat. And I don't know about you, but I battle constantly with that. That defeat. See, the devil don't care if you go to church as long if you're defeated. I can't defeat the devil. Remember, we pointed this out. I cannot defeat the devil, but I can defend against him defeating me. Where defeat is in the absence of defense. I was thinking about this morning before I even got up. I was thinking about how the Lord has set boundaries for the devil. Now, the devil's second in command as far as in power next to God. So he could overcome us, Brother Scott, just with no effort. I mean, with no effort. He influenced, what was it, a third part of the angels to fall, and that was in heaven. What could we? Can we stand up to that? Absolutely not. And I was thinking about, though he has power, and we have no contest to him, naturally speaking. But yet God has set some boundaries in him, in us, that if we will put in place, the devil can't overstep those bounds. As powerful as he is, he cannot overstep those bounds. Let me give you one. Your will. That's a boundary. The devil can harass, aggravate, irritate. I mean, he can hound you, but he cannot cross your will. So that's a boundary. And with that being said, when attacks come from the devil, and he specializes in that, when attacks come, what are you going to put between you and the enemy as a boundary? Put your will there. Amen? David said in Psalms 34, I will bless the Lord at all times. I will. Note that term, I will. Listen, that was not written in pleasant times. That was written in hard times. But David said, I will. I engage my will. I exercise my will. I put my will in place between me and the enemy. And I choose to praise the Lord. Amen. I will bless the Lord at all times. Does that include all times? Good times, bad times? Sure it does. Amen. All seasons. He said, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. But the emphasis there is on I will. What is your will when you're in war, when you're going through hard times, you're being attacked? The first place you're going to fall is if your will is carnal, if your will is disengaged. Amen. That's right. And so, amen. And you are responsible for your will. What you will to do, what you choose to do, what you desire to do. When the devil attacks, put the boundary of your will between him and you. And let him know, I will continue on serving the Lord. I will continue to go to church. I will continue to read my Bible. I will continue to pray. I will continue to give tithes and offerings. I will continue to support missions. I will. Amen. I will bless the Lord. I will praise him. And then throw some I will nots in there. I will not quit. I will not go back. I will not retreat. Amen. I refuse to go back to the old life. Amen. What is that? That's your will is a barrier and a restriction to the devil. We don't know. We may read here in a minute, but listen, I wasn't aiming to preach that until later, but it's coming out now, evidently. Some of it is. We don't know how long the devil dealt with Eve. We don't know if it was days, weeks, months, possibly even years. When it comes to you falling, the devil does not get in a hurry. He can wait your whole life to bring about a collapse. Amen. He's not impatient. He's not impatient. He's willing to wait. He's willing to work. He's willing to weaken and get you to the place where you crumble. If it takes 50 years, he'll be satisfied. That's right. But either, anyway, the devil, you know, would have wanted Eve to have partaken of that forbidden fruit first time that they had an encounter and a conversation. But her will was in the way. And he kept working and he kept deceiving and conniving, and eventually she gave in. Amen. She gave in. So focus on that. I believe that needs to be preached. Focus on your will being put in between you and the enemy as an aspect of defense. Why? Because the enemy cannot cross it. Amen. I don't know if you're getting that or not. Amen. You know why you're defeated? It's because you will to be defeated. Amen. Devil can't defeat you against your will. Amen. Whatever spiritual condition you're in this morning, you're in that condition not because the devil made you do it. We've heard that term, hadn't we? Back when I was in school, that was big terms then. Devil made me do it. No, the devil didn't make you do nothing. He can tempt you and test you and try you and try to allure you, but he's got to have your consent before he can be effective. The will, your will is a barrier. The Word of God is a barrier. Amen. I think we'll all be listening this morning, because most of us in here struggle in this warfare. Amen. We struggle. But the Word of God is a boundary. When Jesus Christ was being personally attacked by the devil himself, which none of us ever have and ever will, or ever will. Amen. We say the devil's fighting us. Really, that's not the devil. It's probably his weakest demon. Amen. Amen. One lady was stood up and talking about how the devil's fighting her. I believe it was Brother Mays Jackson. He said, "Ma'am, quit bragging on yourself." He said, "There's nobody in here that's of a spiritual level and caliber that would require the devil himself like he did with Job. Personal encounter." But anyway, back to the Matthew 4 there and the temptation in the wilderness, Jesus could have done anything and defeated the devil. He could have whipped him easily in any way. But what did he do? Three different times he quoted the scripture. "It is written." You know why? The devil can't cross the word. He can't cross that word. Why? It's a boundary. So listen, when you're being attacked, and you will, you will, amen. And when you're being attacked, don't only put your will between you and the Lord, make sure it's a spiritual will controlled by your spirit nature that are saved. Because if the carnal nature gets involved of the will, it'll say, "I will quit. I will not go to church. That kind of thing." So the Word of God is a barrier. And there's so many other things that we could point out about that. Let's look in Ephesians chapter 6, and we'll start reading in verse 10. And I don't know exactly how far we'll go this morning. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. There's a good proof text for the Word of God being a boundary that the devil can't cross. Amen. Use the Word. Use the sword of the Spirit in your time of warfare. Amen. That's good advice right there. Verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now let's stop right there for sake of time. Let's bow for a moment of prayer. Father, we come in Jesus' name. And Lord, I ask you this morning that you will help us, Lord, to have discernment, direction, be sensitive to the Holy Ghost. Lord, thank you for the good breeze of heaven that's blew through here today. Thank you, Lord, for the Spirit of God ministering to our hearts. Lord, we thank you for that. Undeserving, everyone here would have to say we're so undeserving. But Lord, I want to thank you, Father, that Lord, you are a God of grace and you're a God of mercy. And I want to thank you, Lord, that you, Lord, you specialize in helping us. And I give you praise. Lord, I pray your will to be done in this service. Give help to your people. Save sinners. And Lord, what you do for us, we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Defending against defeat. We are living in our day in the most defeated church age probably since the beginning of the church in the early chapters of Acts. Defeated. You think that's the Lord's will? Cannot be. We're not defeated because we're doing right. There's got to be a negative there to bring about defeat. Defeat is not the fruit of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not interested in producing defeat in our life, but rather to give us victory. Amen, that's right. So I want us to look at some things here if we could. And verse number 10, we'll focus our attention this morning in verse number 10. Finally, my brethren, and so we know who he's talking to. He's talking to believers, talking to brethren, which is a term identifying those in the family, having the same father, same birth. He said, finally, my brethren, be strong. Being strong comes from what you are more than what you do. It didn't say do, it said be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. In this passage of Scripture, we have before us this morning, of course it tells us how we can have victory, but it also tells us how we can be defeated if we take the opposite of what's written here. And that's the way the approach I want to take to this passage is the opposite of what is stated here or what is covered in this passage. For instance, verse number 10, we're defeated when there's a deficiency of power. Why did he start off in this noted chapter on conflict? Why did he start off with be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might? Because the Lord knew that your strength will not be sufficient. Your abilities will not be sufficient. He said, be strong in the Lord. That is, be empowered, be enabled, increasing strength, become strong. Or how many in this service would say, or would at least think that maybe you have a little bit of spiritual strength about you? Amen. And strength is not a gift. Salvation is a gift, but strength is not a gift. Strength is something that is developed. It is built through resistance, amen? And he said, be strong in the Lord. That's the key, in the Lord, with the Lord, by the Lord, from the Lord. And the Lord wants to empower us, isn't that right? And in the power of his might. Well, I'm glad God is a God of might and a God of power. But you can't hardly tell that, though, looking at his church today. It's weak and defeated, and just struggling all the time. That's not the Lord's will, amen? We've been made more than conquerors through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And so there's a deficiency in power here talked about. I want to turn back a couple of pages real quickly in chapter 1 of Ephesians. And I want us to look at this verse of scripture real quick. Chapter number 1 of Ephesians, verse 19 and 20. This gives us some insight a little bit about the power that is available to us. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe? According to the working of His mighty power, look at verse 20, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come. And hath put all things under His feet and gave Him to be head over all things to the church. The power that has been given to us who believe in verse 19 is the same power in verse 20 that brought Jesus from the grave. Amen. Thank God for that. So here's what I want to share with you this morning. We are defeated because of a deficiency of power, divine power, supernatural power, spiritual power. God wants us to have power because that's the only way we can accomplish the will of God is through the power of God. So the first thing the Lord spoke to my heart about was we need power because the enemy must be opposed. Can you name anything other than the church today, believers today, that opposes the devil? Can you think of anything? You can think and think and think. You won't come up with nothing. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ is the only source of opposition to the devil. What about that? Amen. And I already mentioned something about how strong he is and powerful he is and how much authority he has and all of that. But I want to tell you, friend, listen, I can't deal with him based on my strength, my ability, nor can you, but we've been given the power of God available through the Holy Spirit of God. The enemy must be opposed. If for instance, a thief, and the devil is called a thief in John 10, if a thief comes to your house and your doors are unlocked, there's no obstruction. There's no hindrance. He's going to have his way. You agree with that? He has his way. Amen? So it is when the devil's moving and working at large throughout the kingdoms of this world, where there's no opposition, he has free reign to wreck and ruin and destroy lives. Amen. The church, I want to say it again, the church of the Lord Jesus is the only source on planet earth to oppose the devil. And a weak church, a whipped church, a worldly church is not going to oppose the devil. It's not going to oppose him, amen? So we need power because the enemy needs to be opposed. Sinners are not going to oppose the devil. According to Ephesians chapter number 2, right here, listen, verse number 1, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespass and sin. Listen, wherein times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and power of the air, in the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Chapter 2 and verse number 2. So do you see right there in that verse that that sinners are not going to oppose the devil? Amen. Look at verse 3, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. We're not going to oppose the devil because when we were lost, we belonged to him. We belonged to him. He was our father. Jesus told him, said, you are of your father, the devil. Speaking of lost people, amen. But listen, sinners are not going to oppose the devil. The system of this world is not going to oppose the devil. You can believe that. In fact, he's called the god of this world. In 2 Corinthians 4 and verse number 4, he's called the God of this world, little G-O-D. He's called the God of this world. And also in 1 John 5:19, the Bible says, the whole world lieth in wickedness. So you don't expect the world to fight against the devil, because this is his domain. This is where he operates. He's the prince and power of the air. Amen. So listen, sinners won't oppose the devil. The system of this world will not oppose the devil. Listen to what the Bible says in John 14, in verse number 15, 16, and 17. Listen to what the Bible says. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Verse 17. Even the Spirit of truth. Listen. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Do you hear that? Because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him. For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. God said the world, the system of this world, they don't know anything about the Holy Spirit. They don't know anything about the Comforter. They don't know anything about that. They can't see him. They don't know him. But he said, you know him. But I read those verses to show you that the world is not going to fight against the devil. No, it's fighting for him, not against him. Listen to this verse, John 15, verse 18, 19, and 20. If the world hate you, Jesus talking to his believers, if the world hate you, you know that it hated me. Get that. The world, Jesus said, hated him. This world is not a friend of Christianity. This world, my friend, is an absolute opposite of Christianity. Everything that Christ is for, the world is against. That's right. Amen. So if the world hate you, know this. It hated me, Jesus said, before it hated you. Verse 19, if you were of the world would love its own. The world will love you if you're of it. And I'm amazed how many people that the world can pat on the back and feel very comfortable around. Maybe that's because you are of them. The world will love its own. Amen? Love its own. Because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Amen. The world system is not going to fight against the devil. No. Listen, John 17. John chapter 17, verse number 6. I have manifested thy name. Jesus praying now. He's praying to the Father. He said, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. You're to meditate on that. What does that mean? Out of. We've been chosen out of the world. Amen? But listen to this. It goes on to say that we've been not only chosen out of the world, but it says here, thine they are, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Those that you've given me, those that are mine, are those that are keepers of the word. But it goes on to say in verse 14, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them. The world hath hated them. You know Jesus would be crucified again if he come back and allowed it. This world, they never have and never will love the Lord. Amen, that's right. And verse number 16, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Notice that statement, even as. Jesus said, just as I am not of the world. How many knows that Jesus wasn't? He was in it, but he wasn't of it. He was in the world, but not of it. But Jesus, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ sets the standard for us. You can compare yourself to me and to others and maybe look pretty good. But I'm not your standard. Jesus Christ is your standard. Amen, that's right. But here's a third thing. Not only is, listen, sinners won't oppose the devil. The system of this world won't oppose the devil. And that's why I preach against worldliness so much. It's because instead of godliness, there's worldliness. And worldliness lines you up to be an enemy of God, according to 1 John 4, or 1 John 2, rather. Listen to this. We need power because the enemy needs to be opposed. We need power, amen. Secondly, we need power because wrestling is wearisome to the flesh. Have you ever done any physical wrestling? I'm telling you, it'll wear you out, buddy. Spiritual wrestling will wear you out as well. It'll wear you out mentally as you... as you have these thoughts of revenge and grudges and such in your mind all the time. Amen. It'll wire you out. It'll defeat you and wire you out. But listen, we need to have the power of God because here, listen, saved people that are carnal will not oppose the devil. Saved people that are carnal will not oppose the devil. Amen. Listen to this. Carnal believers... is those that are saved but attached to the world. Looking at a carnal believer, you can't tell them from the world. And I wouldn't believe that's so if it wasn't in the Bible. That's what a carnal... Paul writing to the church of Corinth, he said, I couldn't write unto you as spiritual, but as unto carnal. He said, you're carnal, that is, you're fleshly. You're living after the flesh. You blend in with the world. I'd hate for that to be said of me, that my testimony, my actions, my attitude, everything is very similar to that of the world. Amen. I don't want to be I don't want to be a blender. I want to be a believer. That's right. So the saved people will not oppose the devil. Lord, give this to me this morning. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We'll probably never know in this life the high cost associated from carnality. Carnality kills. Carnality and worldliness and flesh living is what's killing our churches. Say amen right there. You know that's right. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. I don't know if I told you the chapter or not. Look at verse number 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. We do not war after the flesh. Look at verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. That is, it is not fleshly, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringeth into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Notice the statement in verse 3, we do not war after the flesh. Verse number 4, note the term, our weapons of our warfare are not carnal. And the Lord spoke to my heart today about these verses, that when we're living a carnal life, we have moved into a condition where we have no weapons. How am I supposed to oppose the enemy when I have no weapons? The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not fleshly. Amen. So when I live a carnal life, make carnal choices, amen, most people in church do, and listen, what that does is take every spiritual weapon out of your hand to be used on the enemy. We don't war after the flesh. And the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, fleshly. So when I live a carnal life, all I have in my hands and in my life to fight with is carnal weapons. And carnal weapons does not fight the devil because he's a spirit being. Amen. I thought that was good myself. Carnality renders you weaponless. The carnal only uses carnal weapons. You fight fire with fire. They did it unto me, I'm going to do the same unto them. The carnal will never use spiritual weapons. Anyway, I thought I'd mention that to you. Listen to this. You cannot overpower the enemy. You cannot outsmart the enemy. And you cannot outlast the enemy. You've got to have the power of God. That's right. That's what it says in verse number 10. Finally, brethren, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Before he even starts talking about anything else down through these verses about our warfare, he says, I want you to know that there's a strength that is above you. There's a strength that comes from the Lord in you that is greater than that of the devil. Amen. So let me give you this. I mentioned it a moment ago. We need the power of God not only because the enemy needs to be opposed, and we're the only ones to do it. We're the only ones that can do it. Brother Ivan, does that make sense to us? Does that speak to us that Jesus Christ is depending on his church in this battle? We wonder why our world is so full of wickedness and perversion even. It's because the light is so dim in the house of God. It is because there's such a lack of salt. Where he said, you're the salt of the earth. Salt hinders corruption, amen. That's right. We used to have those smokehouse. Grandma had it, a smokehouse. And we'd kill hogs in the wintertime and we'd put that in a smokehouse. We'd salt them down. Sometimes we'd sugar cure some of them hams. And we put that salt out there, and it didn't matter about the temperature outside. The flies or nothing would bother it. Why? Because that salt barrier. That salt barrier, amen? But we wrestle. Listen, we need the power of God because wrestling is weariness to the flesh. The word wrestle means to struggle. It means to struggle, means to resist, both defensively and offensively. Listen to this. Physical abilities and strength will be insufficient. Why? Because the enemy is not physical. Amen. If you're going to be a part of the warfare, and our church has been under attack for some time, and I don't suspect that to cease, as long as we're giving out the word, and as long as we're standing on truth, and as long as we're loving the Lord, there's going to always be opposition. You can count on it. Amen. But God help us to not be cowards in these days. Help us, Lord, to stand true to him and not look for an exit. Amen. Not look to lay down, but to stand in this hour. There's that wrestling, struggling, resisting, defensively and offensively. Amen. I'm on the defense to prevent defeat, but I'm on the offense also. Amen. I want to gain ground for the glory of God. I wrote this down. You cannot defeat an enemy you cannot see. That's why it mandates that you be spiritual, that you have a walk with God, that the Spirit of the Lord be in control of your life. Amen. Devil has no competition in churches today. That's right. I want to ask you this question. How many of us is really in a time of attack, in a time of battle, in a time of war? How many of us offer up any kind of defensive struggle? When there's a wrestling match, part of your scheme of approach to that wrestling is that you don't want to get pinned. You don't want your opponent, your enemy, to pin you. Amen. So you're on a defensive, but then also you're looking for an advantage point to gain some ground offensively. God wants us to get out of this, just the reactive defense, a reactive wrestling, where we just respond when the devil moves, when the devil fights, we respond reactively instead of proactively. Every time the devil jumps on us, we ought to say, you know what? You're just making me mad. I'm going to gain ground. I'm going to pray more. Amen. I'm going to get closer to the Lord. Amen. That's right. You're just, amen. Not just be reactive, which most of us, that's all we get involved in, is that reactive. We just respond to what the devil says and what the devil does. But it's time also that we be proactive. Both of those are a part of the wrestling. Wrestling is a mix of training, conditioning, techniques. I don't do any of it, but I like to watch. I like to watch world-class competition of arm wrestling. And I've watched them on there. I'm talking about especially the heavyweights, the big dogs. And I've watched them come on there, and the world, probably the greatest arm wrestler that's ever lived is John Brzezik. And he don't look like to be no bigger than me, hardly. And I've seen him come up to the table with world championship on the line and go against somebody that had muscles on top of muscles. I mean, just gigantic. And I thought, man, he don't have a chance. But because he had been trained and because he knew what techniques to use to give him the upper hand, he won, well, more than anybody has ever won. Amen. Listen, if you're going to wrestle in this thing that we're in, the fight that we're in, there's got to be training. Right here's the manual. We're not ignorant of his devices. God said that about the devil. We're not ignorant about his devices. Amen. We know what he is up to because whatever he was up to and has been up to, he's still up to. He doesn't need new tools. He's still very much effective. Oh, that's right. We need the power of God because of the weariness and the weakening that comes from the flesh. We need training, conditioning. Did you know victory is not conditions around you? Well, preacher, I wouldn't be defeated if my conditions were different. No. Listen, victory does not depend on circumstances. Victory depends on condition, your condition, spiritually. That's right. So it takes training, takes techniques, know-how, what to expect. Here's something else. It takes quickness, speed, making a move really quick. How many of us do that? When the devil fights, we make a quick move toward God, quick move toward the Bible. You know, usually when we turn to the Lord is when we're almost dead. We've been beat up, black and blue, stomped, thrown around like a rag doll. And then finally we think, well, maybe I ought to pray about this thing. Yeah, God help us. There needs to be some quickness, amen. Many times we wait till we're just completely down before we start resisting. We need to learn from the Bible our counter moves. Anytime there's an effort made of the enemy in that term wrestling, there needs to be knowledge about a counter move. Why is it that we're so defeated most of the time? It's because there's no counter moves made. Do you think the devil's going to feel sorry for you? Do you think that he's just going to, that pitiful lady, that pitiful man, that pitiful little young person, I feel sorry for him. I'm beating him up and stomping him in the ground and I feel sorry for him and I'm just going to leave now. The devil has no mercy, has no compassion. He don't mind at all to stomp you the complete life out of you, destroy your home, take every one of you young people and turn you into the world's worst sinners. He don't care. But we act like maybe if I pout enough, the devil will feel sorry for me and realize that I've done enough damage here, I'll go somewhere else. No, when he hears complaining, he says, yeah, I'm winning. When he hears us pouting and all of that, he says, hey, I need to kick it in another gear because they're about gone. But I think we believe somehow or another that the devil's just going to fight so long and he's going to quit. No, he's going to fight till he's resisted. He's going to fight till he bumps into some of those barriers of defense that you put between you and him. Amen. There needs to be counter moves. Here's something else. There needs to be endurance. Amen. I mentioned John Berzink. There's a fellow now that's been, he's the big dog now, and he beat even John Berzink several times. He's a Canadian. Looks like he's about 8 foot tall, but he's huge as far as strong. And I've listened to some interviews of his opponents, and they said about him that if you don't get him quick, he'll whip you with endurance. And I've watched several matches of him. I've watched on YouTube, they're all over YouTube. I watched several matches of him where he would get in there and he wouldn't try to pin him as soon as the ref said to go. He would just lock in there and hold them. And they would be straining and they would try every way in the world to pin him, and he would just hold them, knowing you're going to wire down. And then he'd start laughing at them. Not today, big boy. Not today. And when they got all wore down because they didn't have that endurance, wham, he'd beat them. He played with one. I don't mean to make this so carnal, but he played with one. He played around with one. It's supposed to be a big champion, you know. He played around with him, just holding him. And every time the fella tried to pin him, he would just hold him, and he got to laughing at him and tantalizing him and all of that. And finally, the opponent reached his own hand up there, grabbed the whole thing, and pushed it down for himself to lose. Instead of just letting it go down, he made it go down because this fella wasn't going to. Listen, your endurance. You better have some endurance about you. When we used to play football years ago, the Rosman Tigers, amen. We wasn't big, but we was bad. And you know what our coach constantly drilled in us? Fourth quarter victory. When everybody else, the other team, is wore out and wore down, amen, to be able to continue on and defend and offend on both sides of the ball in the fourth quarter when the others are wore out. What kind of endurance do we have? Are we easy to think about quitting? Are we easy to think about throwing in the towel? What's the use? Why try? So we need all of that. Here's something that you cannot buy in a store, but you've got to have it if you're going to be a wrestler in this thing of and struggling with the enemy, is that you've got to have a heart to win and a hatred to lose. That's right. If you don't want it, there's no amount of coaching that will make up for a lack of heart. I know Brother Carroll's coached some and different ones in here. I did a little of it back years ago when Blake was in the Little League and stuff. But I want to tell you, and I'd scream, and I'd be running up and down the sidelines trying to help them, but I couldn't get out there and play, and I'd tell them, I said, you got to want it. I'd call timeout and have them come to the line. I said, look, you got to want it. If you don't want it, you're not going to get it. And you could tell by the way they played, they didn't want it. It didn't matter to them if they lost. That's right. And I think that's where a lot of people are, even in church. Do you have a heart to win? Don't you hate being miserable? Don't you hate that cloud of bondage being hanging over you? I hate that. I've been there, but I hate that. Amen. That's right. Spiritual weakness is most dangerous. Spiritual weakness is most dangerous. Why? Because the devil knows if he can get you weak, he can get you whipped because you don't have any resistance. He knows that if he can get you to give in and to give up, it won't be long till you'll give over everything you have to him. Exhaustion is the evidence of wrestling and warring after the flesh. Come on now, I know I'm not the only one here. You wrestle and you try to fight the warfares of life, and you do it with the flesh, and it'll wear you out. It's exhaustive, isn't it? I guarantee it. A lot of people's even got out of church over the years because of it. Amen, that's right. Physical exhaustion. Listen, really, it reveals the level of your strength. Proverbs 24:10, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Listen to this, 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. I done read that verse. Let me give you some sayings here, and I'm going to give you one more thing. Weakness is easily whipped. What a clever plot of the enemy, winning through weakness. Who comes to mind when you hear that term in the Bible? Winning through weakness. A man by the name of Samson. Mighty. I mean, listen, it didn't matter if it was 1, 10, or 1,000. It didn't matter to him. The Spirit of God had come on him and he could take care of business. But he got to fooling around with Delilah and he lost his strength. He lost his power. And guess what? When she cried out and said, "The Philistines be upon thee," he jumps up as before. And guess what? The Bible said he wist not, but that the Spirit of the Lord had departed from him. He didn't have any power. And he was whipped through weakness. Weakness is a condition rather than a circumstance. Weakness is a life lived apart from the Spirit of God. Weakness is the results of walking after the flesh. Weakness is likely your condition if you're not pursuing to have the power of God. Amen. Now, third and last, we need to have the power of God, not only because the enemy needs to be opposed and the flesh is weary with the wrestling, but thirdly, the foe never gets tired. We need the power of God because the foe never needs a break, never takes a vacation. He never says, "Give me a minute, let me get my breath." He doesn't need to bail to go between round 1 and round 2 or 4 or 10 or 100. He never wears out. He's been at it 6,000 years and I don't know that he's ever sat down. I don't know that he's ever took a break. Why do I need the power of God? Then verse number 10, because the enemy never gets tired. Never gets tired, weary, or fatigued. That's right. Listen to this. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but is mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You say, "But preacher, how then do we have the power of God? How do we have the power of God?" There's only one source, and that's the Spirit of God. Everything, listen, I'll be done in just a moment. Everything that God does in us, through us, for us, comes through the Holy Spirit. So that tells me that I need to be right with the Holy Spirit. I need to make sure I'm not grieving the Spirit of God or quenching the Holy Spirit. Acts 1:8, "And ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you." Amen. First, listen, Ephesians chapter 4, I'll turn there right quickly. Chapter 3. In verse number 14, "For this cause I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory," listen to this, "and to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man." The power of God comes through the Spirit of God. Amen. What control does the Spirit of God have in your life? What leadership does the Spirit of God have in your life? As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. My relationship to the Holy Spirit of God, amen, is what empowers me or not. Have you ever wondered why demon-possessed people's got such power? You ever wondered about that? I mean, they've got power to do a lot of things. You know why? They're filled. They're filled with the spirit or spirits that is inside of them. Why is it that God's people and God's church is so powerless? It's because we have the Spirit of God, but the Spirit of God doesn't have us. We're not filled with Him. Amen. Power comes through saturation. Power comes through being filled. What would happen if the people right here in this service this morning would surrender and submit your life over to the control, amen, and purpose of the Holy Spirit? We that are saved have two natures, flesh nature and spirit nature. Amen. And most of the week, 7 days in a week, most of the time is given to the control of the flesh. Self, as Brother Mark taught about in Sunday school. Self is in control. Self, it's all about me. It's all about what I want. What is the interest of my flesh? And then if you take the 7 days and then look how little the Spirit of God has control. And we wonder why we don't have power. Amen. 1 John 4 and verse number 4, the Bible said, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. It's not God's fault when we're powerless. It's not God's fault when we're defeated. It's not God's fault. Amen. I responded to a preacher on Facebook, and he was talking about, he was asking prayer for himself, excuse me, and his family. And he said, he made it urgent. He said that I believe the devil is trying every way in the world to destroy me and my family. And of course, having studied this and preached some on it, I responded to him and I said, What are you putting up as a defense? How are you defending against the devil? How are you defending against the attack? If he has no resistance, then there's no boundary there for him to stop at, and he will be unstoppable. He will continue till there's nothing left. What are you doing far as a defense? What are you putting between you and the enemy? God, listen, God has empowered these things for you to have victory. And listen, I know it's demonic now. I know that the Bible said this, know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Perilous meaning demonic, devilish, difficult. But it's nothing now compared to what it's going to be. When perversion is going to be rampant. Listen, reprobates on everywhere you turn. Darkness prevailing in our world. Have you ever wondered why that Jesus, the devil told Jesus, he offered to him the kingdoms, all the kingdoms of the world? Because that's his domain. That's his domain. He's the prince and power of the air. All the kingdoms, devil says, I'll give it to you if you'll bow down and worship me. I thought about that. They are his kingdoms because he operates as controller, and he's got servants in all of them. There's nowhere you can go on this planet that the devil is not working at large. But I wonder how many churches you can go in this morning and the Spirit of God is working. I wonder how many lives, even right here this morning, could testify, preacher, God's working in me. God's working in me. Let's all stand to our feet. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you'll take the message, dear Lord, and we certainly need teaching. We certainly need preaching, and we need some instruction about victory. Lord, I don't believe, dear Father, a defeated church will be an evangelistic church, an effective church. I don't believe it'll be an attractive church. I don't believe sinners will want to come. Sinners will not want what we've got if we are living like they are and acting like they are. Lord, I pray that you'll help us, Lord, to get sick and tired of defeat. Sick and tired of discouragement, disheartenment, Lord, lack of desire. Lord, I pray you'll help us to know, Lord, that you, as Miss Elizabeth testified, Lord, you certainly deserve more than what I'm giving you. You deserve more. Lord, it's time, God, that we be empowered. Lord, that we make up our mind that we're going to allow the Spirit of God to work in us, on us, and through us. Lord, we feel, Lord, the altars and even in prayer at home, Lord, fill me. Lord, I pray this morning, fill me, Lord, with the Holy Spirit. Lord, I need your power. I can't make it without you, Lord. I can't make it without you, Lord, strengthening me and helping me. Lord, I'm reminded in the book of Acts that when they were filled with the Spirit, they spake the word with boldness. Lord, there's a boldness and a confidence that comes when we're right with the Holy Spirit and we're surrendered and submitted to the control of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that you will help us. I don't know what struggles, Lord, that people are facing here in the service. I have no idea. But I know that across our congregation, me included, Lord, there's battle after battle, struggle after struggle, war after war. Some of it's physical, some of it's financial, some of it's spiritual. God, I pray you help us, Lord, to be a good soldier, enduring hardness. God, help us, Lord, to stand even in a day, an hour, when very few are. Help us, Lord, to want and desire the power of God. And that's not a preacher thing, Lord. That's a believer thing. It's your will that all of your people have power.